that on?
We will call the Gage County Board meeting to order for Monday, for Wednesday, March 8th, 2023 at 8:47 on the clock. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Haxby, Tiemann, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. It is our own Miss Haxby's birthday here this weekend, so happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hopefully it's a good one. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held February 22nd, 2023. Approve all claims through March 8th, 2023 in the amount of $2,579,159.72. Accept claim number 2303-0066 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $21,533.06 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve District Court Summary Fee Report and Register of Deeds Fee Report for the month of February 23. Approve utility permit number 1268 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be replacing a service line to a residence at 3040 Dogwood Road. Windstream will bore a 2-inch by 60-inch line for the new service line from pedestal 153QJ located in the south greater ditch. They'll bore under Dogwood Road to the north greater ditch and then continue to bore on private property. Located on the north side of Section 31 and south side of Section 30, Township 5, North, Range 7, East, Hanover Township. Approve utility permit number 1269 to the lower Big Blue NRD. NRD will be installing a new water line to a residence at 25194 Southwest 45th Road. The NRD will bore a 6-inch by 72-inch line for the new water line starting in the west greater ditch, bore under Southwest 45th Road to the east greater ditch, and then continue the bore on private property. Located in the southeast section of 30 and the southwest section of 29, Township 4, North Range 6, East, Midland Township. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any discussion or items to pull off? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Burning the bulbs. Motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 2303-0066 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $21,533.06. This would bring the total of claims approved through March 8th, 2023 to $2,600,692.78.
It's not on there.
I noticed that.
It's on the front page after the withholding.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a company I'm involved with.
So move.
Oh, yeah. It must be
second.
There.
Moved by Juergens, second by Swavely.
It don't matter. We were both the same, so.
Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items? We have a guest in the audience. Would you please give your name and address for the record, Mr. Merkel?
Yes, Monty Merkel, 7001 West Aspen Road, Claytonia, Nebraska.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'll just be brief, but if you recall, a year ago already, March 21st, 2022, Mr. Swavely wasn't here at the time, but I come and asked if we could put up some signs to recognize World Down Syndrome Day. You guys approved it, and we also had the approval of changing the lens colors of the floodlights for that night. I've got the lens covers here. I'll drop them off today. But I wanted to show you the poster or the sign that will be put up. This is what it will look. This is actually the sign. And so just wanted to show you what it's going to look like and then say thank you. 21st is almost here. Today's only 8th, but this is your last meeting before the 21st. And I wanted to thank you ahead of time. It feels like last week I was here asking for permission and now we're a year. So, don't expect any questions, but obviously you know how to get a hold of me if you have any, and basically just want to say thanks.
Monty, I do have a question, and you probably don't have the answer, but I noticed as I was coming around north of Lincoln on the interstate here about a week ago, It was the first part of March. I noticed some of the streetlights, they had replaced with blue lenses. I'm assuming it's not for Down syndrome, but
no.
it was funny that it was first part of March. And
you noticed it?
They are very, I mean, they're really blue, so I,
yeah.
I assume it's not, but was it
no,
by chance?
No.
Defective. My understanding is
it's defective lights.
Yeah, they're not supposed to turn blue lights.
Okay.
So there's thousands of them in the city.
It's something when you drive into it.
Good month. Good month.
Perfect month, yeah. Well,
it's purple. It's pretty.
Yeah, it is.
You may see in the news, Governor Pillen has also signed a proclamation to recognize the 21st, so you're right up there with the state.
Another holiday.
Yeah. Any other questions for me?
No.
Otherwise,
no,
I'm going to get out of here and let you guys get back to your business.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Monty.
Thank you.
Any other comment from the public? If not, we will go right into committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights, Mr. Swavely.
Nothing real super duper, except, you know, we've been talking with the architect people for some conceptual designs for our ideas for the east entrance. If we ever have to go to we've met two, and I have a meeting tomorrow morning with the group from the Prohaska. Okay. We've met with Fakler, and we've met with Burton, and we're going to meet with those others tomorrow morning at 10:30, so that's about all I have. David's recovering well, so.
All right. Equalization, not much for equalization right now. They're working on valuations as we speak. Finance and insurance, Mr. Jurgens.
Excuse me. Large ticket items. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $34,094.31. Contech Engineered Solutions, Culberts, $28,756.50. RL Team and Construction Incorporated, Hauling Material, $21,533.06. Now, the big numbers. Bartle and Gear Trust, Joseph White Estate, $530,709.81. Bartle and Gear, trustee for Kathleen Gonzalez Estate, $176,529.36. Bartle and Gear, trustee for Thomas Winslow, $530,702.54. Bartle and Gear, trustee for Ada Joanne Taylor, settlement, $530,709.82. Chalupa Law LLC Trust for Deborah Shelton, $137,352.75. Friedman Law Office Trustee for James Dean, $186,061.45. The judgments to the vendors, the six I just listed, is a total of $2,092,065.73 and is the final payment. We're done.
Great. Along with that, we've been looking at this for years now. I was talking to Mr. Bauman. He said this was something the county was dealing with already when he was elected. So I think that's been probably at least 12 years ago, if not.
It's 12 years ago was when Terry and I came on.
And it was then already, Gary. It was before that.
Oh, even. Yeah.
So
that,
I mean,
would have been at least 2 years before us.
Yes.
So board after board has been looking at this. Little more than 4 years ago, we kind of got everything finalized and started moving forward with this. The board came up with a plan that they wanted to move forward with, and we've stayed on that course the entire time. Maintain what we have, take care of infrastructure, maintain operations, and pay for this as quickly as possible. I know we were going to be somewhere around 8 years, we hoped. That could be a little quicker. It could have been longer, too. I mean, there were times we wondered if this was going to be 10 years. We had a $150 million property devaluation in 2 years. The county's valuation went down $150 million over a two-year period. But stayed the course, kept going like we were. Had good news from insurance. We ended up collecting $5.98 million in insurance, which everybody said that wasn't going to happen. There was no coverage. We argued that there was. That came from the boards previous to us as well, and then Senator Dorn, when he was chairman here and this board, looking ahead and saying, hey, we're going to keep fighting this. So we put money into that. That wasn't always a popular decision, but it was the right decision. Easy to look back and say it was right, but that one was the right decision. Moving forward from that, Senator Dorn went up to the unicameral and kept working for us. And we ended up with a payout from the state, which there were two payments of $2 million.
Total four.
$4 million total from the state. Those were the dollars we were looking for when we were doing the figures here. $4 million from the state from one piece of legislation. Another piece of legislation allowed for a countywide sales tax, which there were stipulations involved on that. There were rules so that this didn't become a forever sales tax, and the board only wanted it if it was specific for this circumstance. That was lifted on January 1st of 2023. That sales tax ended up raising $5.857 million. So that was put in place from January 20 to December 22. So that was a two-year sales tax at 0.5%. It ended up bringing in $5.857 million. That really adds up in a hurry. And a lot of that came from outside of the corporate limits of Gage County. So that took a little bit of tax burden off of our citizens. All said and done, to the nearest that we can find, this is never going to be 100% correct with legal fees and everything else, we ended up at a total sum of $30,743,000 and change. Instead of 8 to 10 years or 6 to 8 years, this has been paid off in approximately 4 years, June 7th, 19 to March 8th, 23. If you guys would have said, are we going to be able to do this in 4 years? Well, I did tell you no. But between the different pieces that were added in from insurance, legislation from the state, continued work by Senator Dorn for our area, I have to thank him again for his work here, as well as his work in Lincoln for us every day, whether it's for the Beatrice Six or just our area. Senator Dorn's always working for us, and if you see him, tell him thank you, because it's an ongoing process there. We have this judgment paid for. As of today, checks will be driven to Lincoln, not mailed, and this will be once and for all done. So next budget year, I'm not going to be asking you about where things are going there. We'll be moving on with business as normal. And I think Ms. Haxby has a statement from Senator Dorn also.
Yeah. First, I just wanted to thank the previous board, because I came onto this board about halfway through. So the previous board had a lot to do with this. They faced a lot of unfounded criticism through this whole process. So I just wanted to thank them for what they did. And then Myron, as a freshman senator, both of those things that he did were done as a freshman senator. So I did get a message from Myron. I told him this morning. He was very excited to hear it. He says, what wonderful news. So excited for everyone involved to have reached this final payment. It closes a difficult chapter for the Helen Wilson family, the Beatrice Six people, and the people of Gage County.
And just talking to Dawn here real briefly, she said she made a payment to the former counsel for the county in this case, Paul Douglas, in 2009. That original counsel is no longer with us. He's passed since this all began. So that gives you a time frame. We've gone through service lives of some of our attorneys. As we're patting ourselves on the back as the board and also telling Mr. Dorn thank you, I have to thank Roger Harris also, as we're in negotiations with the insurance companies. Roger was up there in Lincoln with us and along the way advising us, what should we do, what can we push on, what can't we push on. You know, Roger was there all along the way advising us since I've been on the board, since before I was on the board, and I don't know if you have anything you want to say on this, Roger?
It's just, as Myron said, it's a good chapter to close the book on. And people sitting up here over the past 12, 13 years took a lot of flack for the decisions they made because, unfortunately, we couldn't disclose everything that this board had to deal with. And, you know, they stepped out on some planks that was very good decisions, but it was risky. So, again, I just applaud their efforts.
That's a good point, too. There were a lot of times that people were asking, why are you doing this? Why are you doing A? Why don't you do B? Since I've been here, that was the most closed session talk, the most litigation we ever talked about. And when we couldn't explain it to the public, that's tough because we work for the public and we generally can answer why we're making decisions. This was a situation where we couldn't explain why. Definitely not. Lastly, I want to thank Don Hill. As we've gone through this, you were up there in negotiations. You sat through all the legal discussions we had here. But every year along the way, how are we going to make this work? How's this budget going to work? How are we balancing things back and forth? That was tough enough in the beginning. But then our 2021 budget, I thought everything was going to be smooth and easy, 21-22. And then we saw the ends of some things, beginning of others. It doesn't seem that difficult to get a budget to work until you have a fiscal year that's July 1 to June 30th, which some things are based on, a calendar year, which other things are based on, sales tax, which is based on a whole bunch of other different stipulations that don't designate between fiscal and calendar year, but you're not allowed to collect it unless you're at a 50 mil levy, which last year we started lowering our mil levy already, which made us not eligible to be collecting the sales tax as per the legislation. Everything seemed so smooth. When we sat down to do our budget last year, I thought this is going to be perfect. We've got it all figured out to June 30, and then the state called and we did not have it all figured out. So thank you for the hours and hours that you've put into this over the years, and thank you for helping us along the way, because I don't know how we would have done it without you, Don.
So exciting to have this done. I mean, a lot of us went through boxes and boxes of papers and trying to find things, as Roger knows. I mean, Myra and I took boxes and boxes up to the attorneys. It's just so good. It's such a great feeling to be done.
Well, and one of these items, the insurance, which ended up being almost $6 million, a lot of that insurance argument hinged on one piece of paper that you found in boxes that you guys dug through. I'm not even sure if you were at home or here, but hinged on one piece of paper that was discovered by searching and searching. But, yeah, thank everyone for their work on this. Thank you to the people of Gage County for your patience working with us. We had your best interests at heart the entire time, even though we couldn't always tell you what we were doing. But thank you to the people of Gage and to all involved.
Not sure if we should be celebrating or crying right now. It's definitely a good time to put behind us. I think, you know, once we hit the pay for the judgment period, I think this board has pulled together and done probably about as good. The team, let's just say the team, has done about as good as could have been expected. I guess the one thing that, and Eric hasn't mentioned them yet, referred to it several times, the insurance part of it, but the almost $6 million that Joel and Joel were able to get for us, which was deservedly so, was pretty remarkable. I mean, at times, you know, we were hoping to get $1 million and whatever else, and, you know, they were bulldogs, and I really appreciate the thoroughness and the attention to details that Joel, you know, as they'd come in and tell us what they were working through and everything, the attention to detail of those two attorneys was pretty remarkable, and they did an awesome job. They really stood out as far as that part of the process. going back, unfortunately, Terry and I apologize, I wasn't as prepared today as I would have liked to have been. Terry and I go back through pretty much the start of this, almost the start of this, and we've seen, you know, some people that were involved with the initial part of it that were gone, and there was a lot of stuff going through the court that was 20, 30 years old, 85 to that period of time was 30 years old, and memories were going away, and people were going away, and it was a lot of tough decisions, and we, you know, the board, I felt like the board always made the decision they felt was best interest of the taxpayers of Gage County, and I think that we can all sit back and be proud of our boards for doing what they did. All of the people that were on, it felt like everybody did their homework, did what they felt like was best for the county. So I'm glad the day's finally here that we can hopefully put this cloud behind us completely.
Are we going to have a proclamation?
You're not.
I thought Terry wanted to have a holiday.
you know, and it's we talk and listen, Jess, there's terrible circumstances that led to this. That the thing that we all had to keep in mind as a board, we aren't on the decision-making committee. That's our judicial branch. They take care of that. The board's dealing with this was the financial obligation, and that's what we had to look at. There were multiple opinions on things. I think as a whole, everyone did a pretty good job of keeping personal opinion on different things to themselves and stayed to the task at hand, which was the financial obligation. That's our job as a board. Not always easy to do, but I think it was, like Gary said, it was done as well as possible. With that, one more door shut, allowing for other doors to be open to us again. One more thing that's off of the plate of Gage County. So I'm personally very happy to take that next step. Anything else for finance and insurance? Should get the claims down here. We'll move on to human resource, employee relations. Anything for human resource and employee relations?
Nothing else, you know, that I'm aware of anyway. Okay, so.
Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got something you want?
Got a few dates.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So I just want to chat with you about some upcoming dates, if I could, on zoning, first of all. Next Tuesday night, the 14th, we host the hearing for the second go-around for solar regulations. So when I say second go-around, we had one hearing. The commission went back to really review the public comment that was made and readdressed some issues of concern. And so this is the last draft of the adoption that we're going to review for you. So again, the 14th, that particular hearing is at 7:15 next Tuesday night. As many also may know from the hearing that we hosted last week, we are able to move forward with submitting a recommendation for you for the commercial greenhouse operation, which help me out, Don, March 22nd, 9:15, that you will be hearing that in the morning. So at your meeting, that will be, the commercial greenhouse. The commission did decide to table for further information from the Lower Big Blue NRD on the commercial, or not commercial, but the swine feeding operation. So that will be on our agenda also for next week, Tuesday night, for further discussion with possible action moving forward. So, and then in preparation of another special use hearing coming up, the board commission set a date for the expansion of the Philly Agronomy Center. Their anhydrous pneumonia expansion, they'd like to add two bullets. Well, step one is one bullet, and then step two would be another additional bullet to bring them to that level. And the reason you have addressed this one other time through special use, but through that process, it was at that time presented as just two bullets. They didn't have a step one, step two, so that's why you're hearing it again. So they weren't sure at that time whether or not they wanted to expand. So so moving forward, again, that is going to be next Tuesday, March 28th. That hearing is at 7:15. So the solar regulations are available on the website, the county website, along with the classification, so the public can certainly review those, or we'll send them out or email them to people, or there's hard copies here available down at my office, and we'll make sure Dawn gets replenished with hers. So questions on zoning for me? I'll move on to emergency management if you have.
Quick question.
Yeah.
That lay-in facility on the Adams Philly blacktop, I was looking at that. That's a big red iron structure. Is that a two-layer? Is that a two-level?
No, the reason it's so high is because the manure drops down, and then they extract the manure out to the east end. So it is all one level, cage-free, considered with their nesting areas. And then they – I'd have to go back to my notes, but just cage-free requirements from Michael's Food for them requires them to have nesting boxes on each end and then flutter to the front or to the middle and then do their eating, laying, and so forth. And then, so, but yeah, that distance I think is for manure.
It's a big structure.
Yeah, it is a big structure. Yeah, it is big. So, but moving on to emergency management, we're just preparing for right now severe weather week. Right now, we're scheduled, the statewide tornado drill is the 22nd of March. Contingent upon what the, how cold it is, whether or not we can activate the sirens. We don't, when it's 40 degrees, we don't activate sirens. But I'm working now with facilities, vulnerable facilities, also the hospitals, our schools, with doing their in-house drills. So they really do evolve around that 22nd when it comes over the radio and the weather service. So, and then I know at committee meeting I mentioned something to you about stream gauge funding. So I do have that secured for Turkey Creek. So I got my last commitment yesterday. So that will continue on for this next year. So that's pretty much all that I have. So unless you have questions for me.
So it's 50 degrees for the 22nd.
Okay. We have races. We were to have races this week, and we canceled that, and now we're scheduled for next week. So it sounds like cold weather again, too. So we'll see. Wait and see. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yep.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
guys. Just a couple things from Monday. Of course, Gary, you should probably see the fleet list. I have for everybody just update on that. That will change pretty significantly once we get the last three new vehicles put in, move things around, but at least give you an idea what we got. Wymore is we're still providing down there for the service like I do anywhere else. They're still in a quandary what they're going to do. I think they're talking about they might try to advertise to other places and keep trying. We'll see where that goes. But right now, we're taking care of the town for them. Purple Wave sale closed yesterday on our two items. The Charger brought $5,390. Humvee brought $27,500. So,
leave that.
$27,000.
Wish I had more of those. I could have made a lot of money on those things over there.
Why didn't you invest in more of those?
Ah, man, I'll tell you.
I don't know how we're going to get by without them.
That's right. You're going to owe me now because I made you a lot of money. So, and I think the guy from Canada is the one probably bought it.
Well, you said he was going to bid.
He said I didn't bid high enough last time. He was mad ever since. He said, I'm going to get this one. So I'll find out when I get a contact number. Yeah.
That almost covered some of the vehicles.
Yep.
It covered one for sure.
In all seriousness, those two Hummers, I mean, that's a good offset.
Yep.
You bought those for almost nothing, $2,500
apiece. Yep.
And that's a good conversion factor there.
It is.
Gosh, you can still do that, okay? Surplus, you can still buy surplus vehicles.
They're on sale. I know.
Otherwise, if we camouflage some of our trucks, can you sell them for us?
I'm good a shot, you know.
I'm sorry, these were in the 80s. All yours are almost new. Those were classic.
So anyway, that's all I really had on it, so. Okay.
That's great.
Thank you, Sheriff. Anything else, Mr. Lytle?
since I was out on Monday.
Oh.
I would be willing to hear if there was anything else, since nobody called me and said, gave me an update.
I don't think there was anything out of the ordinary.
I don't think so. Mr. Jergens.
Birthday girl.
Pass it on. I'll tell you.
Sealed some stuff.
Yeah. Sealed things, fixed things. Yeah. They're still working on the bus bridge. They're, I think, getting close to moving to the west side of that bridge. We're looking, Mark brought up a software option maybe for our road system. We're going to be looking into that. Some big news. We received our first utility permit. It's not on this agenda. It'll be on the next agenda to approve it. But the first utility permit came in for the broadband project. Yes. Yep.
This would be as good a time as any.
It's on my list.
It's about NextLink, or it's about Road and Bridge, however it
yes.
fits.
Yep.
I received another phone call yesterday.
Another one. Good.
And I don't know how this needs to be handled, or if there's a good way. This NextLink project, it was a grant. It's not really our project or whatever. It's kind of. So I don't know what the appropriate way would be, but there needs to be some way that some of our rural taxpayers know how fiber and broadband and all this works out in the county.
I think I could make a statement on this probably.
Okay, if you had something planned, I'm going to step out.
I don't, but I kept thinking we should talk about this while the press is here just so that we can make a formal statement from the board so we can kind of alleviate some mistruths.
Yeah, it's
misinformation.
I'm going to step out of the way and let you take it then.
There's been calls to multiple supervisors from constituents here in the county. And this isn't all from one company. It's from a couple of the companies now. There's a fiber project that's just beginning. There was a grant that went out on that. There was an RFP. People submitted on it. One vendor was awarded this grant money. Looks like it's going to be a $12, $13 million project, which is continuing to grow. That was one project. That's some fiber. It eats up a lot of the county, and there will be fiber put in. There are at least two vendors that I've heard of that are telling people they can't put fiber in the ground because Gage County won't allow them to. I've told those constituents, if you want a letter from me, I'll get it to you today yet. Anybody that wants to put fiber in Gage County is more than welcome to put fiber in Gage County. You have to go through the permitting process like anyone else. But you are welcome to install fiber. No one is telling any company they cannot put fiber in. But what we're also not doing is saying that we won't stop other companies from putting fiber in, and you aren't going to be fully subsidized. If you want to invest in our infrastructure, you can do that, the same as anyone else. We're not going to tell companies you're not welcome in Gage County. So if anyone tells a constituent that they're not allowed to put fiber in, they're not telling you the truth. If anyone's telling them that the county will not allow them to put fiber in because of this grant process, they're not telling you the truth. Tell them to work harder, try harder, get it in the ground. If they want to do it, not only are they allowed to, we encourage them to, and we welcome them to invest in Gage County. We're happy to have them, regardless of who it is. We are not a one-company monopoly. We want competition in the county, so if anyone hears that, it's wrong. I'm going to go as far as to say it is an outright lie that the county will not allow them to come in. You're welcome to invest. You're welcome to lay fiber. You're welcome to build infrastructure. We just are not going to allow anyone to be a monopoly and force our hand on other companies. I don't know if you want to add on that at all.
Yeah, and to be clear, the only limitation that we do have is that we will not pay NextLink for any drops made outside of our project area. And we tried very hard to make sure that that project area didn't overlay any other fiber. So we were not going to overfund or double fund an area that already had something. So that Next Link will only be paid for the drops laid within that project area. Next Link can build outside of that project area. Another company could build inside of that project area. We will just not fund it. So I just want to be clear that, because I received calls as well.
And people are unhappy about that. They're saying, why won't the county let people lay fiber? It's like, we will. We'd love you to.
Yes. So we did get our first permit in. It's a very large one. There'll be, I believe, 7 different permit applications that will come in. Also news with that, NextLink did close on our office where the office warehouse that was in our contract. It's going to be located in Pickerel. They've already received two truckloads of conduit, and they're receiving 2 more truckloads today. Also what went in, I think it was last Friday, NextLink did submit 6 applications for 6 different villages. I believe every village that didn't already have fiber in the capital projects grant. So that was Claytonia, Pickerel, Adams, Cortland, Philly, and Barnston was applied for. We will know that probably mid to end of year.
And that's nothing to do with the county or ARPA. Nope. That is just additional funds they're investing and applying for additional grants.
Yep, they're applying for additional grants.
And Emily, just the idea behind that grant was underserved.
Unserved and underserved locations, yes. Right. Yep.
That was the idea behind the grant, and that was the idea was just to try and get our county to have coverage of fiber optics, quite frankly.
Yep.
Oh, and will you touch on coverage area in the south versus north currently? Because there was some misconception, too, with
yes.
This all goes to the north and nothing in the south. Maybe talk about how our south is currently served versus our north.
Yeah.
And
so there is
future
a,
projects.
There is a lot of fiber already located because of an incumbent provider down in the southwest corner of the county. Diode has done a great job investing in our county prior to this project. And so with this project covers about 40% of our county. We have about 860 square miles of county in our county, like square miles. And what is left? We now have 196 square miles to cover left in the south, and a little over 100 square miles to cover in the north. So the project area pretty balances where we're at with fiber in the county. We're going to continue. There's a lot more funding opportunities coming up, and so we're going to keep working on filling in those remaining sections.
So, I mean, that really is a puts it in perspective well. This really does balance out where the fiber is. Our view will probably be more in the south in the future just because of population and the underserved, unserved areas that are more difficult to get to, the lower population bases, where the northern tier of the county will probably fill in on its own just because of the demographics up there.
And the average speed test within that our project area, so that we know that we're putting it in the right place, unserved homes are 25.3 or less than 25.3, and the average speed in our project area, I believe, was 11.8. 11 by 3. So I think we picked a very good project. I mean, it was very unserved. And then final for the road and bridge is that on last Tuesday, the RAISE grant application was applied for. That is going to be, we will know on June 28th if we receive that grant. That is 80 to 100% funded because it is a rural project, and the total project cost is close to $24 million. So we'll be crossing our fingers to see if we can get that.
Thank you very much. And thank you for bringing that up, Gary. That's something that we need to bring up just because it keeps coming up. Might as well answer that. Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, we'll move on to our next item, which is Road and Bridge related. Approve or disapprove rock and gravel bids. Mr. Juergens.
I make a motion to approve. I think everybody...
Second.
I think everybody got a handout here. It gives the... and that motion to approve would mean to accept all bids, as we've done in the past.
Still second.
Okay. You've got sheets in front of you that gives the low bid and the second low bid for all townships here, and I think the increases were fairly substantial, 10% probably on rock or less with Mr. Thiemann, and the gravel I think was 16. Okay, 16%. But we will proceed to haul.
We have a motion by Mr. Juergens, second by Lytle. Any additional discussion? If not, please vote. Five in favor. Motion carries. Mr.
Six in favor.
Well.
Mr. Harris, should I abstain on this since I'm involved with one of the bidding companies?
I think it'd be a good idea.
Okay, with that, five in favor with Mr. Thiemann abstaining with his involvement in one of the bidders. Motion carries. I just thought of that after we were voting. Sorry about that, everybody. Up next, approve or disapprove county IT vendor. Brief overview on this. We've received some bids for IT. before this or after?
No.
Okay. Brief overview. We've received some IT bids. We've reviewed those some, and I don't know. We just want to discuss those, I think. Has everyone seen the information on these? No?
No.
Okay.
It's longer ago, but yeah. No, because we've had to update a couple of them. But.
I guess we did have questions. there were some questions, I guess, the board requested. Questions were answered. Ms. Haxby?
I feel like I'm fairly tech savvy when I'm compared to this guy over here, but
you got that right.
or me.
Okay, so a lot, but I mean, this is network security is kind of like a step above just your normal average IT, and so I consulted with someone I know that's an expert in this field. I asked some questions, kind of what expectations that we would like to see done, software upgrades, being able to help like the sheriff's software stuff so we can utilize those computers, you know, the software and the cameras, things like being able for Dawn for network security, we have about 80 users on our system, telephones, live streaming in here, and the timeline for being able to activate this. We don't want something that's going to take a year to integrate and then cause disruptions over that amount of time. And so I asked some questions to somebody that works in this field specifically and told her our two options with the amount of people that were able to be supplied to do this. And I think that our best option with what we've got is going to be Applied Connective. Did I say it? Is that Applied Connective, right? Yeah. Because they have the amount of people that would be able to handle ours. We need to be able to integrate all of these together. They integrate while working separately, utilizing the same servers and being able to put the same kind of security across the board. And so I guess my motion would be to approve Applied Connective to be our IT.
We have a motion by Haxby to approve Applied Connective. Don also was checking in with this too. You've gone back and forth with some people you work with. But they cannot give an official recommendation, just ask and answer questions.
They felt that for our size of county that we needed a company with more staff. So, you know, small company, they didn't feel could handle all the things that we have. So that's basically. And they did go through all the information from each company.
I will say I am probably not the most tech savvy also. I mean, I like stuff to work, but I just had to use my guy just the other day to keep me running on something that he thought was very trivial. I'll look at the numbers on it, though. Numbers are very similar. Up front, almost identical. Monthly charges thereafter are close, not the same, but they're close. So, I mean, both bids were similar. Your motion, is there a time frame on that?
We would have to work out a contract with them.
So but is your...
I believe one of the questions that were asked was how long this would take to integrate.
I have that answer.
So you know, work out a contract to vote on in 2 weeks then, or...?
We don't have a contract.
Right. We don't have a contract to vote on, so...
I mean, if you want to sign it, they sent it to me, so that's up to you.
But with the question, because with the other
that
thing...
The question was within... 6 months, they hope to have it, everything onboarded.
Within 6 months?
I mean, look here, I'll read you his. And I think I have it in here, but I know I can find it here quicker.
But do you have a duration? Because, I mean...
By May 1st, they felt May 1st to mid-May would likely be the time frame to have onboarding, emailing, and other project work completed.
And those are some other things. Can you go through some of the things we requested? Email is one of them.
Well, that's their top priority because that is the most hackable in their thoughts. And Homeland Security, I've heard that from Secretary of State's office, to change emails because of people clicking on the wrong thing, that kind of thing. So the emails is going to be their top priority, and then the cybersecurity and putting in all the protective stuff, which I have no idea what they do behind the scenes on that stuff.
To back up to Ms. Haxby, I guess, this isn't just an approve or disapprove, I guess. What is your motion to approve this contract,
moving with it to get an agreement with Applied Connective?
Move forward with negotiating a contract, or?
However is the best way to phrase it. Yeah, negotiating a contract with Applied Connective.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Are you going to disclose who the other vendors were?
I don't think there's any reason not to, is there?
Not when you're in the public and... laying out bids.
Was there
Easy IT,
Bytes, Blackburn Technologies, Applied Connective? Just those four, or did we have another?
We had asked about Five9s, but they didn't come back to the table.
Five9s so. Came in early on, but then didn't continue.
So I think those were the only ones that.
Now, is this a company that basically has a relationship with the state and with the NACO?
I think they also do. NACO, NIRMA.
NIRMA's Five9s.
No, but NIRMA has endorsed Bytes in this company as well as NACO and MIPS and some else. I do know Applied Connective has about 40 counties that they currently serve. Bytes has more, but they're out more out west.
Would you be fine with, I guess, if we approve this, we have a motion by Haxby, second by Juergens. I guess I would think if we do approve this, building and grounds would work on negotiating a contract or talking to an independent consultant looking at how to put this together. This is really outside of, I mean, other than Emily's.
You're not going to have too much negotiation here. They've got their standard contract and fill in the blanks, and you might be able to tweak it a little bit. I'm just being straight up with you. These people kind of have 93 different contracts out there.
Well, and I mean, we also need Roger to look at whatever. If we do get a contract, we need you to review it for us as well. I guess this is outside of our normal realm. I mean, none of us, Emily and Don are more in touch with this. I don't know, maybe Gary. But this is not our normal.
I do know that they did
business.
I got the information yesterday too on cyber insurance. They have $2 million cyber insurance coverage and errors and omissions, you know, as well, insurance or coverage. And
did all of them have that, or
I don't know. I didn't ask that. After to this point, because I just asked that yesterday.
When I was visiting NARMA, that's something. Some of our liability insurance is going up so much that our additional insurance that we had purchased very reasonably a couple of years ago has dropped.
Reinsurance told them they couldn't do the.
Our additional liability insurance that we had purchased very inexpensively, and then as they were meeting in London, the over-insurers, they're talking potentially 40 to 60% increases in the Midwest. We are falling out of favor in the Midwest because of our weather patterns lately. Those are huge numbers.
I read that.
Huge numbers. That's not directly with this, but with the cyber insurance. We currently, with NIRMA, have $1 million cyber insurance.
I think it's two, and we did have five, and now they sent me an email that says we no longer have five, we have two. Whoever the other insurance company that they go through says they will not go
that's
that high
that's on the cyber?
Mm-hmm.
So
cyber.
This company would offer an additional two plus errors and omissions,
mm-hmm.
which and I would assume they all have errors and omissions.
And I haven't had a chance to check on that. They are with the Homeland Security. We have, through Secretary of State's office, because elections, we are members of the MS and the EI-ISAC, which that's all another level of security, and you can send them emails and stuff if you have a question, but they are also monitoring. I haven't had a chance to ask anybody else. I did send an email and applied is a member of that, so they work with them as well. That's about the
person
that I found out yesterday.
When I talked to I consulted with that person that deals with this, they did say that by working with that was it M.
There's a EI and MS ISAC.
ISAC that if we are working within those, there's a lot of opportunities for grants as well. So that's why.
Explain
that's
working important. Within those, working with
so
members of
if
those.
If you work, use their parts of their program for network security, utilizing what they have, then we are able to apply for more grants through that. That's the way I understood it. So
the only thing I know is that it's all connected with Homeland Security. However, that is,
and that's what sparked this. We've been wanting, you know, this. We talked about this 6 years ago, I think, with items like streaming here in the courthouse, and we've had some issues with that. What type of time frame do we think we would be able to have something together if we would?
Eric, I would think that, like Roger said, they should have a contract pretty well. So I would think that in 2 weeks we should be able to vote on a contract from them. I mean, I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to, if we feel like Applied Connective is the one to go with, that we vote on moving forward with them, and then they have their contract in front of us so we can move forward.
And I'm not trying to drag my feet on it. This is so outside of our normal realm of business. does that give time for your consultant to go over this?
Probably.
I mean, I can go over it all, and I would probably know about as much about it as I do now, other than maybe time frames and dates and things like that.
I think at this point, Eric, the important thing is to know the terms of the service. You know, if there's added charges that'll be, you know, built in after so much service that you're going to get charged for other things, or, you know, if all of our expenses. I mean,
You mean like the cable TV does it, just keep automatically just have to get a raise sometime, right? They just keep going up and up.
Right, something like that, yeah. I mean, I think that most of those things are pretty common sense. We should be able to read through those things and know. We deal with enough contracts here at this table that we should be able to look at this and have an idea, and if Roger reviews it too, there, you know, we're not looking at the IT part of it. We're looking at the contract part of it.
I think that the IT part, you know, one of the things that jumps at me is the coordination on the third floor with the court system and bringing stuff over from the jail that we've been working on for forever, which will save a lot of money and a lot of security for Gus that we haven't been able to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not blaming anybody. That's just one of those things. And I think we want to make sure that's covered under this contract. If it's not,
probably a good
point. We're going to be kicking ourselves for it.
That's a very good point. Will you guys make note of that too with building and grounds? As your, I assume this falls under building and grounds for negotiating.
Eric, it makes sense to me that Emily would be in charge of, I shouldn't say negotiating, but looking at, she's the only one at this table who's probably smart enough to do it.
She can help.
There's so many different nuances when you start talking about programs and software. And, you know, I mean, the assessor's got some, the treasurer's got some, Don has some, the sheriff's got some, I've got some. And it's all it takes is one of those hiccups,
on this,
and you're shut down. I mean, when our computers are down, that's it. So, again, I think in abundance of caution, we want to make sure that's covered. And it may well be. I assume these guys or these people have run into this before. But assuming, you know what that does. Costs money. And we want to know, I think Gary's absolutely right, you got to know what's up front, what's it going to cost, and what your timeline is. Timelines in construction, and I don't care whether it's buildings, shingling, or computers, is never a straight line. So, the consultant, I have no doubt, you know, she can interpret the consultant's suggestions.
One of the things that I was looking through the attachments, and they do have a breakdown chart on time lapse, like 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour in there. So that was kind of nice, just from my bare minimum interpretation of it. But there is a lot of things, but there are some things that I wanted to ask a few more questions on to make sure it's all going to be covered.
Two weeks. I'm in the middle of a bridge negotiation right now that you folks gave me. And I'll gladly trade you that for the computer contract.
No dice.
let's say we'll move as fast as we can. Again, put it on the agenda so we can kind of have an update and keep it moving. I don't have any problem. I think that's a good idea. But if I told you I'll have you a contract in 2 weeks, I'm lying.
That's probably right.
I will.
Jane, give it a little bit more time. I mean, that's.
We can put it on the agenda.
You can contact everybody in 2 weeks?
Maybe. But, I mean, we can put it on the agenda at least for an update. We can let you know where
we're at. If this passes,
update or action.
My intention would be to assign a contract negotiating committee consisting of Haxby, Swavely, and Lytle.
How are you ever going to learn if you're never
a
part of it?
Not Terry?
I love computers.
Hey, that's
what,
yeah, hey.
Put him on PR.
And at that time, we would know, you'd tell us time frame or duration of contract, things like that. Getting started, I would think we probably don't want the longest contract so that we can make sure
everything's covered.
Yeah, and everything is working as intended. We have a motion by Haxby, second by Juergens, to move forward with contract negotiations with Applied Connective. Any other discussion? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Is there anything else for the good of the... Oh, I had a phone call. Roger, you're going to love me on this, but this isn't additional. It's just one asking where you're at, and I was going to give you a shout. Humane Society, have you had time to take a look at... they said they sent something over. We had sent them a contract with some changes. You may have even implemented the changes on there, but did you take a look? See, they sent something back, and they made some changes?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for anything on the next agenda, or just?
Oh, we might be. There's. I'll reserve that.
We do need a closed session today yet, so I mean that might be something we could even.
Well, I did. You know, we're not at where we want to be.
Okay.
So we're still negotiating.
Okay.
I don't know what their big hurry is, and. Ain't that life of.
Anything else for the good of the order? What is this one for?
That's rule number
okay.
17.
Hold on, Terry. We do have a closed session that we'll have to add for personnel. No action will be taken after this closed session. I'd ask for a motion to go into... we'll recess for a quick break at 9:49, and then when we come back, we'll have a quick closed session. Quick.
Drive down to Texas to pick up dogs.
Okay, so...
Dogs around here, we don't have. There's if for
Greg Morin, are we ticking?
You're on.
We will reconvene at 9:54 on the clock. I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 9:54. Motion by Dorn, second by Swavely. Please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. This closed session is necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual and involves personnel. And I assume this is open session then.
You're on.
I would ask for a motion to go into open session at 10:56. We have a motion by Dorn. Second by Haxby. I lost my agenda.
Wife didn't get you dressed this
morning. How do I lose an agenda? It was right in front of me. Well, anyway, all in favor, please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order?
That's good enough.
If not, I would ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
At 10:57.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Haxby. Motion to adjourn. All in favor. Oops. Please vote. 6-5 in favor. Motion carries. We're adjourned at 10:57. How do I lose an agenda that's right in front of me?
You want mine, Princess?
No, but I haven't moved. It's like losing a sandwich off your plate.